Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
First of all, it is just a pleasure to be here today. I thank you so much for the opportunity to be in this lovely place, being able to lead worship. And I just want to tell you who I am real quick. I'm Pastor Lou Upchurch. My wife, Lisa, is back there on the back pew. We have been called to Christ, Costa Mesa, and I'm the associate pastor there. And it is just wonderful to be able to kind of take a break from that section of California and come up here for the weekend. So it is just wonderful to be here, and it is my pleasure to be here. And I just want to tell you something. It's as a pastor, it's always kind of a challenge to preach to people that you really don't know that well. Now, I've met you, and you seem like really awesome people. But it is a challenge, right? Because I don't really know your stories, and I don't really know your struggles. I don't know how you have spent like the last few weeks of Lent. Like, what's really on your mind? And you don't know the same about me. And you probably have a lot of questions you would love for me to answer. And my wife's probably like, oh gosh, don't open it up because he'll answer any question. But you know, it is kind of a challenge to preach to people you really don't know. And yet, here we are. Here we are in this beautiful sanctuary on this beautiful day. And we might not be getting to know each other as much as we probably want to, but we are worshiping together. We are worshiping together in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is such a wonderful thing. And it's for this reason, we, as the body of Christ, who are gathered together in this specific time, in this specific place, that I chose the Old Testament reading from Numbers today to preach on. Now, you're probably like, you know what, Pastor? There's a lot of good gospel in the epistle, of course, in the gospel reading. You're going to preach to us today on this weird section of Numbers. Well, yeah. Yeah, and I am. And it's not because I have this weird thing with snakes. Now, I will have to tell you, my friend who I just met, I am from the state of North Carolina, okay? That's where I grew up. So I know a thing or two about snakes, as I'm sure you do as well, being from West Virginia, am I right? And so I'm not here to talk to you about snakes as much as I could. And I will have to tell you this. I do have a ton of snake stories. I really do. And I wish I could tell all of you too, but I'll just tell you one real quick before I get going here. One time, Lisa, you'll remember this. One time we lived in a home and I was replacing like the boxwoods in front of our house. And so I dug them up, and it was like a nice spring day, and I dug them up, and it was getting hot, and I was going to take a break. So I sat down on the front steps, and Lisa was nice enough to, she's like, oh, let me make you a sandwich and bring you something to drink. So I'm sitting there, and about 10 feet or 4 feet in front of me is this pile of dirt. And so she brings me a sandwich, and I'm sitting down there, and I start to eat, and I look up on that pile of dirt that I had just dug up, a beautiful but just deadly copperhead. You know what a copperhead is? Oh yeah, that's a venomous snake. This thing was just, I had obviously dug it up, and it was just sitting there, and I was like, oh my word, I really must have made this thing angry. Now, I'll come back to that snake a little later. But that snake didn't bite me. I was fine. But you know, it was kind of a wake-up call, you know? You're like that close to danger. You remember this, Lise? Yeah? Okay. It was really interesting. But again, I'm not here to just tell you all my snake stories. And I didn't choose this reading from Numbers because of the snakes. I chose it Because even though we might not know each other that well, as Christians, we have something in common. And that is our life of prayer. Okay? Think about this. We share that in common. But it goes even deeper than that. As Christians, we share a life of prayer together. But we also share a life where those prayers are not always answered in the way that we want, or even in the way that we expect. Now, you know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, we pray and we pray and we pray, and make no mistake, the Lord hears us. He does. And make no mistake, the Lord answers us as He always promises to do. It's just that sometimes that answer is not what we expect. You know, that was the case for the Israelites in our text today. You know, to recap what was going on, I mean, you guys know the story, but let me just recap. What was going on up to this point, the Israelites had been, of course, freed from slavery, rescued from slavery and in Egypt, but God just didn't rescue them. He gave them the promise that, you know, they were going to be delivered to a better life in a better promised land, right? And so the Israelites did all they could, and they're singing God's praises, and rightly so. But it didn't last. You know, it's like you would think that if you had been rescued from slavery like they were, that you had been kept alive, you know, with food and water, then you would think that the usual response would just be this constant, like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, they started off like that. But then, like humans, you know, what do they start doing? Grumbling and just like whining. And instead of like, thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. Thank you for all of your protection. Thank you that we're not living in fear. Thank you that we're not being beat like animals by those Egyptians. Thank you that we have a future and a promised land. They didn't do that very often towards the later years of the wandering. It wasn't on their minds anymore. They started whining like spoiled little kids, you know? They did. And that brings us to our text today. You know, they say, why did you bring us out of Egypt to die in this desert? Why are we going in the opposite direction? There's no food, you know, except for this worthless stuff that we can't stand anymore. And so they grumbled. They complained. In a nutshell, they sinned against God. And so what did God do? He sent poisonous snakes. My word. I mean, it's just, and many of the Israelites, they were bitten, and many of them died. Yikes. Of course, this only brought them the realization that they were once again outside of God's protection because of their ungratefulness. And so they came to Moses and they confessed their sin. They're like, we have sinned. We have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against you. Please, Moses, please pray to the Lord that He take away the snakes. And Moses did. He prayed for the people. And the Lord answered. The Lord answered. Now, was this answer what they wanted? No. Was this answer what they expected? No. Because the snakes were still biting the people. I mean, it's crazy, right? It's like, pray that you take away the snakes. We know that we have sinned. Oh my word, we get it. Please, please, please. And God's like, I hear you. I hear you. The snakes were still biting the people. The Lord answered their prayer, but He answered it in a different way. He answered it in a different way. And so, what did the Lord say to Moses? He's like, hey man, I need you to make a bronze serpent. I need you to put it on this stick, put it on this pole, and every time someone is bitten by a real snake, when they look to this bronze serpent on the pole, they will live. And so Moses did that. And it worked. Whenever someone was bitten by the snakes, where the venom would kill them, they could look upon that bronze snake sitting on the pole, and they would live. Yeah, this is a really strange part of the Bible, isn't it? It's very odd. It is super strange for us to hear. It's weird. Okay? And if you're like me, we have so many questions about the process. Like, about the people. About God. But we don't get to hear the answers. You know? All we get to hear is that the suffering that the people were experiencing because of those snakes, all we get to hear is that they were still experiencing that suffering. And yet they had a way out. You know, that's not all that we hear today. I think what's most important is, as the body of Christ, some of us just met, you know, what we see and what we hear today is how God is able to answer a prayer, but He's also able to work in the midst of suffering. Right? He's able to work in the midst of suffering. And I think we get hung up on that sometimes. Like we want that to be different for us than it is. And so, you see, as strange as this text might seem, it really does show us that God is ultimately in control, right? That He does what He does, and He does it on His terms, not ours. I mean, how many of us just want God to answer our prayers by solving our problems, right? That's what we want! We want the snakes of our lives to be gone. God, just pray that God will do that. We just pray that God just get rid of my problems. And you know what? Sometimes He does, right? But a lot of times He doesn't. He doesn't. But that doesn't mean He doesn't hear us. And that doesn't mean that He isn't providing a solution that's actually best for us. And see, we can't see that all the time. But this is what this text reminds us of. Whatever it is, God wants us to understand that He is working things for our good, even though we just can't see the obvious. You know, looking at that snake on a pole in order to live after being bitten by a snake made absolutely zero sense to the Israelites. And it probably doesn't make a lot of sense to us, but it is the divine wisdom of God that is present here. And to God, who knows all, sees all, it made all the sense in the world. Because it required trust. It required trust in Him. It required trust in the only one who knows everything. And that's what this relationship that we have been given through Jesus Christ is all about. It's about trust, right? This is where those wonderful readings come in that help us see this. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It's a gift of God. I mean, talk about something that doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, like if you had to explain Christianity to your friend who is outside of the faith, who just walked in, you're like, by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, and not by works, for no one can boast. And they're like, what are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense. By grace we have been saved through faith in Jesus Christ. This is not our own doing. It's God's gift. And what this means that is instead of asking God to take away every problem of ours, okay? Whether that problem is a financial problem, whether that problem is a professional problem, whether that problem is a health-related problem, a grief-related problem, a whatever-related problem, we are going to live in the problems that are there. Okay? We're going to live in the problems that are there. And we're going to do this not to prove anything to God, but because we are going to trust Him that in whatever circumstances that we find ourselves, we trust that He is working for our good. And on those days when it really doesn't feel like that, okay? Because I know how that is. On those days when it really doesn't feel that way or it doesn't look that way, like, how is God working things for my good today? Because my life is terrible. We look to the cross. We look to the cross. Because on those days when it seems like God has checked out of our lives because we're still being bitten by the snakes, the metaphorical snakes, and our suffering proves it, we look to the one place in the world where God is the most visible. The one place is on that cross. Oh my. And Jesus shows us the way here. Look at what Jesus says in the gospel reading. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should have eternal life. You see, God's people of old still had their problems. They still had their sin. They still had their pending deaths because of it, but God gave them life by providing a solution on that pole. A solution that was grounded in His Word, not theirs. God gives us a solution by providing His Son crucified on a pole. I mean, it's such a mystery, isn't it? And it is so undeserved, considering how unworthy we all are. Oh my word, how unworthy we all are. But here's the thing. Like the snakes on the pole, it doesn't make a lot of sense to our rational minds that God would do this for us, sinners that we are. But God doesn't require us to explain it. God doesn't require us to rationalize it in our minds. God requires us to trust it. And most of all, God requires us to believe it. You know, when it comes to our life of prayer, I think we get caught up so often in what we think is best. You know, I've already alluded to this, but But all of us have problems. And some have worse problems than others. You know, some of those things that are weighing on our minds, we just constantly, biblically, take them to the Lord in prayer, right? Someone once said, you know, if you really want to know somebody, if you really want to, you know, get to know somebody, say, what are you praying about? What are you praying about? Because that's going to tell you what is really on their minds. What are you praying about? And so we do take our things to the Lord in prayer. But most of those things we take to the Lord in prayer have to do with either our own sin, the sins of other people, or the sins of this world, right? I know that we take to the Lord in prayer our praise and our thanksgiving, but most of the time it's like, oh, help me, Lord. My life is not going that well. This person has done this to me. This person is after me. This world hates me. Help me, help me, help me, help me. And we do that. And God hears us. And God answers us. But most of the time, His answer is kind of hidden. It's not very obvious. I've had prayers answered in my life, and I'm sure you have too. But sometimes those prayers, it takes a long time to see what really the answer is. And I'm just saying, today, the cross is never hidden from us. You know that? It's never hidden from us. And thank God, because, you know, God chose that place, the cross, not for us to die. You know, we should have died on that cross. And I want to tell you, back to that snake I told you about. You know what I did to that snake? I killed it. I killed it. Because I'm a sinner. And it was threatening me. And I killed it. And that's just what we did to Jesus. That's a threat. Kill it. But see, Jesus didn't stay dead. Jesus didn't stay dead. That snake is dead. Jesus did not stay dead. His death wasn't the end. And because it's not the end, a life we have is a life that is promised to be eternal. It's still a life that is promised to be a struggle. It's still a life that doesn't make a lot of sense at times. But because Jesus lives, we live. And we will live with Him as our King when He returns and the dead is raised and the trumpet sounds. It'll be amazing and there'll be no more sin, no more struggle, just a perfect life. But until that day, we hang on to the promise. And when we pray, I want you to hear this one more time. That God hears us. He protects us. He loves us so much that He gave His only Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And that's His promise, you know, through the good times and the bad. That's His promise. May God grant us the strength to trust this promise and believe it today and forever. Amen.